This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
All right, all of our liberty-loving friends, Nate and Charlie here. Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction and has implemented really cool features to ensure it's undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering the Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. And a big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That's Dash.org. All right, a few things that happened over the weekend. Let's recap. There's something that people are upset about right now that's going on in Florida, and I wanted to give a couple words on it. We'll play a video of Ron DeSantis talking about that. I will preface, however, that I have not read the curriculum of the Florida schools to see exactly what they are going to be teaching. But there is this, the word going around is that part of this, of course, it's not going to be the entire curriculum. This is not, there's not going to be a class on why this was a good thing. But the word on X right now, which used to be called Twitter, we'll talk about that in a little bit. The word is that Florida is teaching people that slavery benefited people who were enslaved because they learned valuable skills that they were later able to use in the market. And I hear arguments like this from time to time. We'll play the DeSantis clip, and it's just not a good look. I'm not pumped about this as an argument that people are making. Let's listen to it.
In the policy, it says instruction includes how slaves develop skills, which in some instances could be applied for their personal benefit. Could you just explain?
Talk to them about it. I mean, I didn't do it, and I wasn't involved in it. But I think what they're doing is I think that they're probably going to show some of the folks that eventually parlayed being a blacksmith into doing things later in life. But the reality is all of that is rooted in whatever is factual. They listed everything out. And if you have any questions about it, just ask the Department of Education. You can talk about those folks. But I mean, these were scholars who put that together. It was not anything that was done politically.
All right. So the official word here is that he didn't do it. As the main point that he wants people to remember.
By the way, that's why all these departments exist anyway.
What?
Oh, well,
so
it was
he can say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Look at this department over there. I didn't do that.
That was that guy over there. If you want to be
talked about
someone.
This before, that's why all these departments exist. They want to abdicate responsibility.
It's a hand washing station.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't like this argument, Charlie, and I'm not saying that the entire curriculum, what they're teaching, has to do with how slavery benefited people. It could just be something that they mention, and it's probably being blown out of proportion right now. And so I just wanted to clarify that.
I gotta say, just that clip, I don't see anything that he said that was...
Well, I did.
I mean, he talked about, maybe they'll show somebody who learned a blacksmithing skill or something like that.
Yeah, what I'm trying to figure out is why you would want to do that. Why would you want to talk about how someone learned a valuable skill while they were a slave that ended up helping them later in life? Like, what is the point in that? I don't understand it. Mm. Other than trying to, you could say that there's a lot of people that are really mad. People are talking about slavery a lot and reparations and, justice and, there's discrimination and all that. Of course, we need to fix it. And maybe they want to, get the word out there that it it wasn't all that bad. That there were positives, that there were benefits for people that were here in the U.S. And I get the argument. People will also make the argument. LPNH made this argument recently. That well, people that are in America because slaves were brought here are better off than people that are in Africa. And so if people would have been left in Africa, they would either not exist. They statistically wouldn't exist. You know, different timeline, different people would exist. Or they'd be much worse off if people were still in Africa than they are here. I get that, and that is probably true. It probably is. But to me, that it doesn't matter. I don't see why you would make that argument. You can't make the argument that, well, I know slavery was bad, but hey, look how much better off some people are because of it.
That's a bad argument.
That is an argument that gives leeway to a lot of other bad things if you go down that moral road with people. The answer is, slavery was wrong. It doesn't matter if there's people that are better off now than they would have been. You should not appreciate where you are and say, like, oh, okay, well, I guess I benefited from slavery. Slavery is wrong. It should never happen. It's against human morality and decency.
Kind of like the COVID lockdown.
Just bad. Yeah. Yes, just like that.
You could argue, like, well, we saved your life or whatever, but it's like, okay, at what cost?
At what cost should we all just be locked in a cell and never allowed to do anything dangerous because it would be better off for us?
Yeah.
That's the problem I have with the argument. And if you're going to say, well, people learned valuable skills and these are some of the people who learned how to be a blacksmith while they were a slave and so they were able to use that later in life. What point are you trying to get across?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, okay, so let me just play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
The only thing I can
say, you want to advocate slavery? That's fine.
No. I obviously don't advocate for slavery, but I'm talking more on a personal level, right? So, like, you know, there's that old, Chinese parable or whatever it is that talks about, but it's all maybe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the dad and his kid are farmers and, you know, they don't get any rain or something like that. Or the horse, you know, runs off.
And did you hear
the town's like, oh, that's so terrible. Your horse ran off and now you can't plant crops. And the farmer's like, maybe.
Yeah.
And then a couple days later, the horse comes back with like 50 horses. Mm. And the town's like, oh, that's so great. You know, all these horses that came back and the farmer's like, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then his son is trying to break the horses so they can sell them, trying to ride them because they're all wild mares. And he ends up breaking his leg.
Mm, mm.
And the town's like, oh, that's so terrible. And the farmer's like, maybe. And then the army tries to recruit him, you know, go off to war and die. But he can't because he's got a broken leg. And the town's like, that's great. Kid broke his leg. And the farmer's like, maybe. The answer to everything is maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And so on a personal level, I think this is where it doesn't matter. Because we all go through suffering in life. And then in the midst of that suffering, you have a choice. Like, you can either be a victim, which you may be a victim. I'm not saying that you're not a victim, and I'm not trying to downplay that. Trust me. I know. All right? You may be a victim, but at the end of the day, you still get to make a choice on whether you're going to sit in that victimhood or you're going to say, hey, I can do something about this. I have a choice to make, and I can take responsibility for myself where I can and move forward. So I think that's all I'm trying to say on a personal level. And I'm not saying, obviously, slavery is wrong. It was wrong to enslave human beings. There's nothing appropriate or moral about that in any way at all. But if you were a slave and you learned blacksmithing and then you became free, you could either wallow in the suffering of victimhood of being a slave, or you can say, hey, I learned a skill and I can go use this now to better my life now that I'm free. And I'm not saying you shouldn't get justice for that back then. I'm not saying I don't believe in that. That's just on a personal level. But to make a broad sweep and be like, well, you know, the ends justify the means. We enslaved all these people and taught them skills.
Yeah.
Like, no.
And I don't think that's the argument that they're making. That's what it's being made to look like. I doubt that's the argument that they're going to be making, but I don't like the argument at all. We can still just say, okay, this was terrible. We don't say how these people benefited from it. No, that leaves the door open for all sorts of things that people could benefit from if you just conscript them into doing whatever it is that you want them to do. And when you're teaching children the morality of something and the history of something, like that's what you're kind of telling them. Maybe not outright, but you're teaching them that. So anyhow, I kind of get why people are upset about this. I do assume it's being a little bit blown out of proportion. Okay, there's a few things maybe we can run through. I just wanted to point out this annoyance I had. There was an article going around. Apparently they have found an asteroid. And it's getting closer to the U.S. reach, I guess, with some of our technology is what it says. Doesn't mean it's closer to the U.S. than it is to any other countries. Just means that our technology from, I can't remember, Business Insider posted this article. An asteroid loaded with 10 quintillion worth of metals edges closer to U.S. reach.
10 quintillion.
Quintillion.
Quintillion dollars.
So 10 quintillion dollars. Yes, that's a weird word to say. So billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion is the way that that would go for anyone who doesn't know. Just want to let you know. Here's the problem. I mean, I see people taking this seriously. And I think one thing that drove me nuts about this was there's a movie called Don't Look Up about an asteroid that's about to hit Earth. And this is a spoiler alert for no one who has seen, for the people who haven't seen Don't Look Up. I will give you 5 seconds to not listen for the next minute. In the end of that movie, they decide not to just blow it up because they figure out that it's got a bunch of rare metals on it that they can use. And it's got however many trillions or quadrillions of dollars worth of metals. And that ends up being a downfall is people who decide that they want to make money off of it instead of just destroying it. And it's, of course, this big metaphor for climate change and all that. The problem is there's not 10 quintillion dollars worth of metals on this asteroid. Number one, because there's not 10 quintillion dollars in circulation that could pay for all of those metals. And whenever you increase the that much supply of those metals, then the value of those metals would plummet down to next to nothing. Okay? The reason that metal is worth what it is worth is because...
I know.
What is it, Charlie?
Scarcity.
Scarcity!
Mm.
And so when you introduce a nearly what seems to be unlimited supply of these metals, they will not be worth what they are worth anymore.
Maybe if we could harvest it, though, we could bring about the common dream.
I think we should try it. Let's try it at least. We got a thing from the Daily Wire here, and the Biden Energy Department is proposing a new rule on water heaters.
Mm.
It's not just your gas stoves.
Those tyrannical water heaters.
You know, it's not just the brick oven pizzas in New York that people are concerned about. It's going to be your water heaters as well. So let's see. We got two articles here. Do you want to do this one or the next one, Charlie?
Doesn't matter.
Go ahead and do this one.
All right. From the Daily Wire, thanks, Ben. The DOE, Department of Energy, announced on Friday a plan to crack down on some hot water heaters, part of a string of proposed...
God, for a stop. Even they did it. You don't have a hot water heater. If the water was hot, then you wouldn't need to heat it. You have a water heater, all right? If it were already hot water, then we wouldn't even be talking about this. It's called a water heater.
Water heater.
Just so everyone knows, but it says hot water heater.
Mm-hmm.
In the article.
Part of a string of proposed rules from the Biden administration on appliances that critics warn will limit consumer power. The new proposed rule would tighten requirements for water heaters, dictating that, quote, the most common size electric water heaters to achieve efficiency gains with heat pump technology and gas-fired instantaneous water heaters to achieve efficiency gains through condensing technology. I have no idea what any of that means.
So there's
sounds
different,
like a bunch of gibberish.
Two different things here. So electric water heaters, they're going to basically mandate that they have heat pump technology and gas, your instant water heater, like what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Those have to have a condensing technology. And that's what they are proposing be mandated.
Such standards would save consumers $11 billion annually on utility bills and $198 billion for Americans over a 30-year period, the Department of Energy said. The regulations would also reduce greenhouse gas emissions by roughly 500 million tons during the same time period. Today's actions, together with our industry partners and stakeholders. Does everyone know what that means? The industry partners and stakeholders. Those are all the companies that are going to benefit from these regulations.
Those are the people that are paying them to make people buy more expensive water heaters.
Yes. Those are the water heater companies. Okay. Improve outdated efficiency standards for common household appliances, which is essential to slashing utility bills for American families and cutting harmful carbon emissions. This proposal reinforces the trajectory of consumer savings that forms the key pillar of Bidenomics and builds on the unprecedented actions already taken by this administration to lower energy costs for working families across the nation. Now, why can't they sell these things? If it saves you money, okay, and it's better for the environment, it's better for your home, it's better for your kids, why isn't everybody just switching over to them?
That's a great question, Charlie.
Wouldn't you think, why would the government need to force such a good thing upon you?
Let me tell you. You think I didn't already do my digging on this, but I did. This is the water heater, your normal. This is a 4,500-watt double-element electric water heater from A. O. Smith, a 50-gallon water heater. Cost $489 on Lowe's website. And the 50-gallon, the 4,500-watt double-element electric water heater with a heat pump costs $1,950.
Almost a 400% increase.
Almost a whole $1,500 more than the regular water heater.
Both come with free pickup or free delivery.
There you go.
Looks like.
There's the free market part in action right there.
It's for your benefit, folks.
As Thomas Massey said, right here, Thomas Massey said, leave us alone. These products already exist in the free market. Consumers should decide whether the upfront cost of a heat pump water heater is worth the possible long-term savings. In many cases, the monthly savings never make up for the upfront cost of the equipment. Heat pump water heaters can save energy, but they make less sense in northern climates. That's because they extract heat from the surrounding air, warm air that your furnace will have to work harder to replace. There's no free lunch from these water heaters in the winter. Heat pump water heaters also take a long time to make a tank of hot water, but on-demand water heaters make hot water as needed, avoiding heat losses from a big tank. Depending on personal circumstances, cheaper on-demand heaters might be more economical than mandated heaters.
I think he would know.
He's a pretty smart guy.
Yeah.
He knows about this stuff. So this is the government helping us. They're going to save us money. And like you brought it up perfectly, Charles, if it's so obvious that we're going to save money on it, then why aren't people just buying the $1,900 water heater from Lowe's? And that's because that's a large upfront cost. And what else is funny? People are going to end up having to finance that with a interest rates as high as they are right now. Lowe's is going to give you some kind of special deal for 6 months or something, 0%, more than likely. If you have good credit, they'll do that for you. But, this is going to – I just had to replace my water heater last year because my other one blew up. It just, like, burst, just popped.
Really?
Out the side, water going everywhere.
Did it implode or explode?
It exploded. Yeah. And not like fireball or anything, but
– So you can't use that to go underwater.
It was my fault. I was pressure washing the house the day before that. I left the pressure washer connected to the outside faucet, just right by the water heater. I did not unhook the pressure washer from it. It kept a bunch of pressure loaded up in the line and sent a bunch of back pressure back up into the line, causing the water heater to explode.
Mm.
And so since I know how to install water heaters, I just went and got one and put it in, and it was that $489 one
from
Lowe's.
You didn't get the $2,000 one?
I didn't, because I'm not going to be in the house for the 20 years it's going to take me to eventually make back the money that water heater is going to save me.
Hmm.
And so I got the cheaper one, because this was an unexpected expense, and I did not want to go spend $2,000 on a water heater. I just spent $8,000 on a new freaking HVAC unit last year. You know?
It probably has all kinds of efficiencies built into it.
You know? We haven't seen the electric bill go down.
And for your own good.
We switched from a...
Well, that's because of climate change.
That's true.
That's true, Nate.
I know.
All we these things are explainable.
We would have saved money if not for the climate change.
Exactly.
We need to try and mandate things harder next time.
That's right.
Oh, man. They're from the government, Charlie, and they're here to help. You know? Speaking of... people being from the government.
This is a pillar of Bidenomics, by the way. I just want you guys to know.
They have really taken that term. It's crazy how they did it, because when we had really high inflation and all that stuff going on, people making fun of Joe Biden, talking bad about Joe Biden, would call this Bidenomics. And so if you were to look up like hashtag Bidenomics on something, it would bring up all of these people talking about the crazy inflation and prices going up, gas prices, what they used to be, hashtag Bidenomics. And so what they did was they took that term, and now every time they talk about something that they are portraying as being a good thing that they're going to do for you, it's now Bidenomics. Mm-hmm. And now that's what you see when you look at Bidenomics. They tried to take over that term, although they're not going to be able to do it as well as all the people who were making fun of him, but... you know the thing. Listen, when it comes to water heaters and whether or not the government's going to be changing, mandating things with them, maybe that's not going to really affect your life all that much. You already got a water heater, okay? It's not going to matter all that much. What happens, though? New people building new houses, new buildings going in, new houses going in. It makes everything more expensive. And not to mention, when you take away the cheaper options, the more expensive options, their prices have been kind of tempered down by the fact that there are cheaper options out there. And so when they do this, it just makes those get more expensive. All right. We don't need them coming in and telling us about water heaters or gas stoves or brick oven pizzas in New York, anything like that. And if you like hearing what Charlie and I talk about, and we do this on a daily basis on a podcast called Good Morning Liberty, you can go to BernieLies.com in your browser, and it will bring up all the links to our site. Or you can just go to your favorite podcast app and look for Good Morning Liberty. We put out a new episode talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning every single day of the week when we want to. All right. Now, Charlie works in the healthcare sector, and I've owned a few businesses. I consider myself to be pretty schooled on basic economics, and not just the book by Thomas Sowell, although that is my favorite book. For sure, I've read it more times than any other book I've read multiple times, I'll tell you that. Speaking of some of our experience in the healthcare industry, coming up, you're going to hear our conversation about the healthcare industry and some of the just flat-out wrong things that people say when they're talking about our industry. And we'll talk about that coming right up.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Conservative House Republicans are pushing for spending cuts below levels agreed to in the debt ceiling bill brokered by Speaker Kevin McCarthy in the White House.
We failed the American people. Everyone who voted for that bill essentially owned the Biden agenda, the Biden spending, for the remaining 1.5 years of this Congress.
Virginia Republican Bob Good told reporters Tuesday he wants to cut non-defense spending to pre-pandemic levels. Demands from the right could increase the risks of a government shutdown as Congress needs to pass a series of appropriations bills by September 30th. Notre Dame football great Johnny Lujack is dead. The school made the announcement Tuesday after the 98-year-old had been battling a brief illness. Lujack quarterbacked the Fighting Irish to 3 national championships and won the Heisman Trophy in 1947. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paladi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
What's up, y'all? This is Nate and Charlie, Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network. Every once in a while, you'll hear us talking to people as we recorded this live. And those people joined up on our private Discord. You can go to joingml.com if you want to join up and join us live and talk as we talk through some of these different news stories. GML, by the way, stands for Good Morning Liberty, Charlie and I's podcast that we do every single day of the week when we want to. You can find us on all of the social media channels that there are out there. Twitter is Good AM Liberty, or X. I don't know if it's called X now or if it's called Twitter. I'm always going to call it Twitter, and that's one of the big problems. You know, good thing about capitalism is that if this whole X thing with Twitter, which we're going to talk about here in a second, is a good idea. You know, if it's a bad idea, the market's going to solve that pretty quickly. And Elon Musk, who's normally pretty good at making decisions and having big grand master plans, they're going to throw it right back at him. And maybe they'll have to go back to calling it Twitter. Maybe they'll have to put that bird logo back on there. I don't know. I wanted to... Listen, there's this whole thing that Twitter is about to switch over to X because Elon Musk is obsessed with the letter X and making it things. PayPal used to be X.com. You got SpaceX. You got the Tesla Model X. He named one of his kids X and a bunch of other random letters. Hmm. And now the logo on Twitter, I did see when you go to the Twitter homepage or the, you know, your homepage is an X. There's no bird there.
That's weird.
Anymore. It's really weird. I don't know if they're actually going to change the name to, like, X or something. I don't know what they're going to do. If they're going to do that, that's really terrible, terrible, stupid, freaking terrible idea.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
This would be one of the first times I ever looked at something that Elon Musk was talking about and say, no, this is dumb. Quit being obsessed with the letter X. Stop. Twitter is a brand. You tweet things, all right?
People have been saying it for years.
When your brand has been turned into a verb or a way of describing things, you don't change it after that. It has entered the common vernacular of ways that people talk to each other. So you don't change it after that. Did you Google things.
Did you see what Musk X'd?
I didn't. No, I didn't see that.
Like that doesn't... Yeah, I don't know. Maybe in 10 years after, you know, I have no idea. I don't think this is a good idea. But what do I know? I'm not a genius billionaire.
That's true. Maybe he's got some kind of grandmaster plan. It's supposed to be the everything app where we finally can do everything inside of one app, I guess. I don't know what the dream is of this. It's just, I don't know about this one, guys. Mm. I'm going to be an Elon skeptic.
I like what Councilman Yev says, instead of tweet, you can solve for.
Mm, there we go.
X equals.
Whatever.
Whatever I say.
It's whatever you want it to be. Okay. I get it. As an engineer, you know, math genius guy, X must be a fun letter because it can be anything.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know about that. Well, TBD on that as well. One more time that the government is going to be here to help you. The Washington Post had a good article about tariffs that are likely on the way, and they say on products that are purchased by poor people, we're looking at more tariffs, and this is, of course, to protect a small number of people's jobs, but we're going to put tariffs on these things. So let's go to the, listen, as libertarians.
Small number of people's jobs at the expense of everyone else.
As libertarians, are we in favor of tariffs?
No.
No. Why? You like China?
No, because they don't work.
No. They
just shifts the cost onto the consumer.
They make things more expensive. They don't actually achieve their goal until they make things more expensive. And the problem with tariffs is that it takes an item that you could get for a dollar when it was made somewhere else, and it makes it cost $2 because someone was making it here, and that takes the purchasing power of your dollars away. You could have bought more things that could have gone into the economy and provided other jobs and made things more efficient. And instead you're spending more money than you otherwise would have on some good. Now you might say, well, we don't want to be dependent. Well, this is another thing that could exist in the free market. Do you think that there aren't more expensive goods that you could buy that aren't being produced in whatever country they're putting the tariffs on? You could, if you wanted to. Instead, they forcefully make those items more expensive for you. Without even asking you about it, mm-hmm. You know? All right, yet more tariffs may be coming on products purchased by the poor. Washington Post and Catherine Rampell wrote this. Once again,
Rampell.
Once again, the U.S. government is weighing tariffs that will threaten jobs in the name of boosting employment, raise prices for low-income consumers in the name of helping the working class, and alienate our allies in the name of fighting back against economic adversaries. That's a great opening paragraph.
Nice job, Catherine.
Good job, Kathy. The tariffs under consideration by the Commerce Department and International Trade Commission would fall on tin plate steel, a component used in cans for goods such as tuna, soup, diced tomatoes, and other consumer staples. I'll tell you what, I don't know if you remember back in the band life, Charlie, but those cans of tuna and chicken are lifesavers.
Chef Borardi's.
I don't think I would be here today if it weren't for those things. You know, to be clear, these
cheese
tariffs...
Dip.
Cheese dip. When did you have cheese dip?
Like the Frito cheese dip.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's not poor people stuff.
It was.
To be clear, these tariffs would be in addition to the many, many other metal tariffs that the U.S. has imposed over the years, including steel and aluminum duties levied in 2018 by President Donald Trump. That episode provides a useful case study, one whose lessons U.S. officials still haven't learned. Though those tariffs were imposed ostensibly to protect our national and economic security, they instead harmed the U.S. economy and geopolitical standing.
So imagine that.
There's actually been studies on the effects of things like the Trump tariffs. So thank you, Trump, for being a Republican president that everyone hated, that actually enticed people to do studies on how bad one of the policies was.
And what ANCAP Trucker says here, food's getting expensive again, as if a grocery cart full doesn't already cost $300. You know, I've yet to go to the grocery store, even without a full cart, and spend less than $150.
Ours has been $200 lately.
Well, it's just mean.
You must be getting some nice stuff.
And I have Parker every other week.
That's
so
true.
That makes sense.
That's right. Yeah. One and a half people.
One and a half. That's right. Every time I go, I'm just like, every time they ring it up, I'm like, that can't be right.
Mm.
It can't be. It used to be like 75, 80 bucks.
Not anymore.
Literally doubled.
That's Bidenomics for you.
Mm.
Yeah. After all, talking about these previous tariffs, they benefited the relatively small U.S. steel industry at the expense of the much larger American sectors that use steel, such as the manufacturers of automobiles and household appliances. At the time the tariffs were announced, the number of jobs in the U.S. industries that relied on steel products made from steel or products made from steel was roughly 80 times the number of jobs within the steel production industry itself. Let me say that again. The industries that relied on steel, the jobs in those industries, are 80 times the amount of people who work in the steel industry. And tariffs are normally imposed as a way to protect jobs in America's steel industry. But this is at the expense of 80 times the amount of people that work in other industries that depend on that steel. And just to lay that out in a different way.
Isn't that something?
Trump's tariffs helped drive steel prices sharply higher in the U.S. Than they were in other countries, which meant all those downstream U.S. firms had to pay more. This, in turn, led to an estimated 75,000 fewer jobs in manufacturing than would have existed in the absence of those trade restrictions. As for the few jobs within the steel industry that were protected by the tariffs, they came at a high cost. U.S. consumers and businesses paid more than $900,000 per year for every job that was preserved or created, according to estimates. So they put in the tariffs to protect U.S. steel jobs. The increase in prices therefore cost the American people $900,000 per job that was saved in the steel industry by the tariffs. And that's what we all paid for it.
Mm.
And
so helpful.
Those people were probably not getting paid $900,000, but that is what we ended up paying for each job that was saved. So I cut off the rest of the article and just wanted to mention on this for a moment that I understand the rationale behind tariffs when we talk about, you know, we had the pandemic and we were relying on other countries for some of our goods and it sent us into some shortages. And so you're relying too heavily on China or whoever it is. And there is a natural inclination to move towards wanting everything to be produced in America because that way we don't rely on all these other people. And I think some of those things should be produced in America. And if they want to produce those, they should produce them. And if they cost more, then they should cost more. And then the people should decide whether or not they want to pay more for those items that are produced in America. Or maybe they're higher quality goods, and so you're going to buy them at Publix instead of Save-A-Lot or wherever it is that you're buying. Is Save-A-Lot still a store?
I think so.
Okay. Used to go there, you know, back in the day. So that's your decision.
Back before you were a famous podcaster?
Yeah. I hardly remember those times, the poor times, you know?
Yeah.
I finally found my bootstraps, and I lifted as hard as anyone has ever lifted in the history of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not good for the entire population of America. They frame it as saving jobs or being self-reliant, but at what cost? And there is a cost associated with this. The most important thing is that we use our money in the most efficient manner possible so we can use the leftover money on other things that we want. And this just ends up hurting everyone and helps almost no one except for the people who run these industries. And, you know, I was thinking about what it also does to prices downstream. Of course, it raises prices. And it made me think that last article about the heat pumps, water heaters. Currently, that costs, what, $1,950 was that water heater?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it's going to cost when it's the only option? When you don't have a cheaper option to go to?
More.
You think it's still going to cost $1,950?
Of course it won't.
No. It'll be, who knows? Who knows? But they'll probably subsidize it, you know, and so it'll be cheaper for you. Whose money are they going to use to subsidize it? They're going to use your money. Man, they're so good at helping.
They're
aren't
just,
they?
Yeah, that's all they do.
They just help.
They sit around in rooms and wonder how they can help with their industry partners and stakeholders.
Yes. And I can't believe that they actually said that. Nina Turner has been on a rampage, and the rules of her rampage is that she says as many dumb things as possible inside of one day, and she's doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I want to commend her on that. She put out this chart from Our World in Data that says life expectancy versus health expenditure. And if you're not watching the video, you'll see on the chart that you got a whole bunch of countries that pay less per person, per capita, and have a higher life expectancy. And then you have the U.S. at the bottom of this, which pays more per person and has a lower life expectancy. Albeit the life expectancy difference is by a few years, but still, that can matter. And Nina says this is what privatized healthcare has gotten us. Now, Charlie, would you describe our healthcare system as a privatized healthcare system?
No.
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 Now, there are privatized, there are private companies who reap the profits of the system that we have. But are those private companies making all of the decisions?
No, it's completely government regulated.
No, it's actually, it's really close to like a fascist healthcare system,
yeah,
where you get the private ownership of the company, but the government controls
all of the rules.
Everything that you do is based on government rules. There's like not a thing that you can do that there aren't, there's not a whole book of rules on that people have to go through. And so calling the privatized healthcare industry was annoying to me. So I brought up the other thing. You can't just say that it's because of the healthcare system. You'd also have to look at a very, very big factor between the USA and, say, Norway and Japan and South Korea and Denmark and Germany and the UK and Switzerland and all the other countries that are on here. The really big thing you'd have to look at would be the obesity rates. America is a very fat country per capita. Our weight per capita is much higher than those other countries, which is going to take years off of your life. All right, you can't just blame that. Even if you were going to say we had a totally privatized healthcare system, you can't just blame it on that. You got to look at the health culture of the country, and we are a much fatter nation per capita.
There's no obesity problem in America.
There is.
That's
okay?
For sure.
And that's because we have a free market in food for the most part. So, you know, we got way more food than we need. So I pointed out some stats on this just so we know. The chart that Nina posted goes from 1970 up to 2018, which would be like some of the most recent data that they had for that chart. And during that time, the third-party payment as a percentage of our total national health expenditures, the money that was spent on healthcare, third-party payment, meaning you didn't pay it yourself, grew from 68% to 90% of the healthcare expenditures. The public health expenditures as a percentage grew from 22% to 42.5% over that time. It almost doubled as a portion of how much money was being spent on things. Out-of-pocket and private insurance used to be 53.1%, and now it's 38%. Okay, another good stat is that out-of-pocket used to be 32.7% in 1970, and now it's 10.2%, and that's in 2021. And so is that a healthcare industry being privatized at that moment? Or is that actually the public health side of that equation
increasing.
Basically doubled during that time. And then you also have an increase in the amount of that health insurance was paying. So more people having health insurance, more people get health insurance from their jobs than they were getting in 1970 as well. So a lot more people are using health insurance for more and more things. And also health insurance is mandated to cover more and more things. And so it's picking up a bigger portion of the pie. And as you have multi-billion dollar industries, or you have multi-trillion dollar government paying for things, the expense that is allowable, that people will charge and that will get paid for those expenditures, continues to go up and up and up, as opposed to if it were just me or Charlie going to pay for something, they would actually be restricted by a free market payment system in that time. So that's one little portion of about a thousand different things that we could point out for why healthcare is so expensive.
Healthcare is too expensive.
It is.
It has nothing to do with the fact that it's private.
No.
Because it's not.
No. So it can't.
So it can't.
It's impossible for that to be the problem.
Yeah.
And I wanted to mention one of Nina also. She was on a roll the other day. She said, either we have single-payer health care or private companies will profit off illness. There isn't a middle ground.
Can't argue with that.
Either we have single-payer health care or private companies are going to profit.
She's like, it's one of two options. No, that's it.
Those are the only two things. And so what she's insinuating there is that in a single-payer health care system, private companies are not going to profit from things. But a single-payer healthcare system, all it says is that the government's going to be the payer for all the things, and the private companies are still going to do it. But she's saying that they're not going to profit off of people?
Well, they may only profit like 10%. You know, they'll move those margins down, Nate.
Look at that. You know, like the same brain. So I said profit will be outlawed under single-payer. And this person said, no, you can make a little above your production cost. But to fight for these companies making millions, if not billions, off sick and dying Americans is disgraceful. So this person says that we should use cost plus.
Mm-hmm. And guess what's going to happen?
That's their idea.
The cost is going to go way up.
The cost goes up. And in fact, Charlie, I thought it was a great time.
Just like when you're a server, okay? Like, look, your job as a server is to increase the ticket price. And that's because most people will pay your tip as a percentage of the total bill. And so the higher you can get that bill by selling desserts and appetizers and drinks, the higher you can get it, you're the more likely chance you are to have a higher tip. So you increase the cost of production so that your percentage, your plus amount, increases.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah,
I don't know if we've ever used that
analogy
before, but that's really good. I like that. I thought we should have Spike Cohen talking about this because Spike already talked to us about Cost Plus, and this would be great for the radio as well.
All right.
So Cost Plus is the idea that the problem with the cost of healthcare is that there's too much profit in it, right? And so if you just tell people, if you just tell the hospitals and the healthcare providers, well, you can only charge a percent more than you're paying for the product or service, then that'll make it cheaper because they can't profit as much, right? There's no way that they could game that. There's no way that I, as a doctor who is trying to figure out how to make sure I'm getting everyone paid and still put money in my pocket and pay off my student loans and everything else, there's no way that I figure that instead of buying this saline bag, IV bag, for a dollar and being able to make 10 cents off of it, that instead I could buy this saline bag for $300 and make $30 profit off of it and know that I can charge that much because I'm not charging the patient directly most of the time. I'm charging a multi-billion dollar insurance pool that's required by law to pay it. There's no way I would do that, right? There's no way that would happen.
When you say it that way, it sounds perfectly rational.
This Cost Plus is probably, I would say, possibly the single biggest contributor to the spiraling out of control cost of especially hospital services. It is a direct result of all of the providers going, oh, yeah, we don't want you to make too much profit on our $700, you know, IV catheter or whatever. Like, I mean, the things they're charging are as a direct. It's like what government. Government is under cost plus. Government, they're contractors. They can only charge a certain percent more than they cost. And that's how you end up with a $23,000 hammer. So they took that amazing economic policy and moved it to the healthcare sector. And wonder of wonder, now hospital services cost a fortune.
You also. All right. That's right.
Now, it does work. I will say it will work in the private market, like what Mark Cuban is doing with CostPlusDrugs.com, because his whole goal is to actually save consumers money.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's trying to find the cheapest actual cost of these medications and then only add the 15% profit on top of it, which is saving people thousands of dollars. But once it gets to the point where it's no longer saving anybody money, no one's going to use it.
Yeah.
But he's having to compete in a free market way against other companies that don't, but like Spike said, because they can charge this multi-billion dollar pool of insurance that people are forced to pay into and therefore can continue to suckle
the teat
of the plus.
Jeff, that's the interview where we had Spike and Nate's chicken shack or whatever it was that we came up. That's in the... That's towards the end of this.
It'll be a cost plus chicken check. Yeah.
Well, we were talking about CON laws at that time, and anyway, it's a great interview. I'll put the link to this video in the show notes for everyone. Charlie, we gotta go.
It's time.
The government, they're here.
Yeah.
To help. All right.
Just so you know, you should advocate for more of it. They should be running everything. I don't know why we try to do anything.
I know. Shouldn't it be so much easier if we just let those people do everything?
That's right.
You know,
like, why would you want to make any decisions in your life? You know,
it's too much.
Would it be nice if everything was decided for you?
These people running businesses trying to get people stuff.
Yeah.
Like, why are they doing that?
Why do you want different things to eat on different days? You should just have the same thing provided for you.
Just let like a board vote on it or something.
That's right. That's right.
One of the things we want to continue to stress with the healthcare conversation is that healthcare is too expensive. And that's the government's fault, and they're sorry, right? Only they're not sorry. The government has been getting more and more involved with healthcare since really Medicare came into existence, but even before that. We think that health insurance should not be used to pay for things that we know for sure are going to happen in our lives. That's not what insurance is. That's one of the reasons that it's so expensive, because it has to pay for all of those things. It should be more for things that are unexpected. Coming up, we'll be talking about California's woke math. We'll be talking about this idea that third parties are destroying our democracy. I don't know what that means. Anyway, all that's coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.